KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The state of Alaska has designated king salmon as a stock of concern in one of Bristol Bay's commercial fishing districts. Next week, the Board of Fish will decide on a plan to protect and restore the run. That could mean big changes for the fishery. KDLG's Izzy Ross has this report.
In recent years, the Nooshigak has been one of the most prolific districts in the largest wild salmon fishery in the world. But the Nooshigak River's king run has been low for years, even as sockeye runs have hit record highs. In October, the State Department of Fish and Game recommended that the Board of Fish designate Nooshigak king salmon as a stock of concern. At a work session last month, the Board of Fish agreed. Tim Sands is Fish and Game's West Side area biologist.
We're acknowledging that we've had this goal, this 95,000 in-river goal, and we've failed to meet it five of the last 6 years. And that's triggering this stock of concern status.
The determination came just weeks before the State Board of Fish meeting for Bristol Bay. That meeting happens every 3 years and is a time for stakeholders to propose changes to fisheries regulations. Before that meeting, the department must create an action plan to protect Nooshigak king salmon and bring the population back up. Normally, Sands says, the department would have evaluated the run over the winter and made a stock of concern recommendation months earlier. That would have given them more time to create an action plan. But they waited until after the summer season to see how large the king run would be.
Going into the season, if we'd made the escapement goal, we probably wouldn't have gone for the stock of concern. But since we didn't make the escapement goal, it was after the season that we made the decision that we needed to recommend stock of concern status. So we have a much shorter timeline.
Last summer, Fish and Game changed its counting method at the Nooshigak sonar to get more accurate counts of kings and chum, which the department said it was underestimating. But those runs were still some of the lowest of the past 2 decades. For years, managers have delayed opening the Nooshigak's commercial sockeye fishery in an effort to let more kings swim past the fleet and up the river. Sands says designating kings as a stock of concern gives the department more regulatory tools to try to address the stock's decline.
One of the tools that will be proposed in this action plan is the idea that the Wood River Special Harvest Area could be used to protect king salmon. Currently, the Wood River Special Harvest Area can be used to protect Nooshigak River sockeye salmon, and it can be used to protect Nooshigak River coho salmon. But it cannot be used under current regulation to protect Nooshigak River king salmon.
The public can weigh in on the department's action plan at the upcoming Board of Fish meeting.
The department is going to come up with several different options as far as tools go, and then the board is going to select some or all of those tools based on input they receive.
The draft action plan will be available on the Fish and Game website this week. The Bristol Bay meeting began on Tuesday.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy requested $287 million from the federal government last month for fishermen impacted by the Bering Sea snow crab and Bristol Bay red king crab fisheries closures. But the current process of getting financial relief to fishermen is cumbersome and takes a long time. As KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports, Bering Sea crabbers are hoping the plight of the snow crab population might change the way financial relief is delivered to fishermen.
Gabriel Prout is a second-generation Bering Sea crab fisherman from Kodiak. He owns the FV Silver Spray with his dad and brothers. He says there's one big problem with the current process for handing out fishery disaster funding.
If you're going to have a fishery disaster request program, you should be able to make it so the money is getting into the hands of those affected very, very quickly.
Right now, it takes years for money to reach skippers and their crews. After a governor requests a disaster declaration, it needs to be approved by the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, and Congress needs to appropriate funding. The money goes through several agencies on its way to fishermen who have to apply for a slice of it. And most fishermen have to figure out how to stay in business years before the money hits their bank accounts. Bering Sea crabbers like Prout are following the process closely.
Right now, the big hurdle is basically it's sitting with the Secretary of Commerce and waiting for her approval to sign off on it.
Jamie Gowen is the executive director for the Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers. That's a trade organization that represents the fishery. This year is the second in a row that the king crab fishery is closed, but she says the first ever snow crab closure is devastating.
People are still in shock. It's been a lot to digest as far as, you know, what comes next.
About 60 vessels go out for Bering Sea snow crab each year. Gowen says skippers and crew still have bills to pay, and without some sort of rapid relief, many won't make it to the next season.
We've been telling Congress that we need money within 6 months to a year for these small businesses to be able to weather this.
Bering Sea crabbers aren't the only ones waiting on the current system. Earlier this year, the U.S. Secretary of Commerce approved more than a dozen disaster requests for fisheries in Alaska, spanning the years 2018 to 2021. At the same time, improving the current fisheries disaster funding process has gotten attention from policymakers. But climate change has made that conversation more complicated. The Arctic is warming more quickly than other parts of the world. That includes coastal Alaska. Researchers don't know for sure what caused the snow crab population's collapse, but they think warming ocean waters caused by climate change had something to do with it. Gunnar Knapp is a retired University of Alaska economics professor who has studied Alaskan fisheries for decades. He says fishermen have always shouldered financial risk, and over the years, many can attest to having good and bad years. But the recent crab fisheries closures highlight just how much climate change is tipping the scales.
Now, with the sort of dramatic changes that are occurring in the global climate and in our waters and in our climate, you know, we don't know whether fisheries that decline will come back.
Senator Lisa Murkowski's office recently announced a working waterfronts framework that seeks input on the disaster funding process, and ideas for fixes have included something similar to crop insurance for farmers. But Knapp says if fisheries are failing more frequently, that might not be the answer.
If the problem is serious enough, then neither private insurance nor government insurance is really going to work because it's just too expensive if whatever has caused the loss of income is sort of happening too regularly.
Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers' Gowen says she's hoping the fishery's total closure will expedite the process of getting money to crabbers, and that the attention the snow crab collapse has gotten will bring about bigger changes for the commercial fishing industry as a whole.
What's happening in our fishery right now, I'm hoping will be a tipping point to creating a new program that's faster and more efficient, or, you know, reforming the current program.
Biologists say the Bering Sea snow crab population will likely continue to decline for the next few years. Prout, the Kodiak fisherman, says he hopes his family doesn't have to wait that long until there's a better program in place. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The state of Washington banned fish farming with net pens in state waters on Friday, citing danger to struggling native salmon. Public Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz issued an executive order banning the aquaculture method, which involves raising fish in large floating pens anchored in the water. That's a method that's been practiced in Puget Sound for more than three decades. Alaska, California, and Oregon have already outlawed net pen aquaculture. Canada is working on a plan to phase it out of British Columbia's coastal waters by 2025. Supporters say fish farming is an environmentally safe way to feed the world's growing population. Critics argue that it can spread disease to native stocks and degrade the environment.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
In an action memo from its last meeting in October, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council tasked its staff to, quote, develop a discussion paper identifying a few economic data components, including crew data, that are not currently collected across all sectors, close quote. Crew aboard fishing boats are one of the only groups of laborers in Alaska not counted by the state or federal governments. Therefore, crewmen exist in a regulatory limbo, unrecognizable as stakeholders when fishery management plans are developed. The real losers are Alaska's coastal communities. It's a bad thing when over 20,000 Alaska fishermen don't exist to lawmakers and regulators. That means that those deckhands, all small businesses in the eyes of the law, will never be recognized as stakeholders. It seems likely that more and more fisheries will turn to catch-share programs for management in the future. As access to our nation's fisheries falls into private hands, there will be inevitable wrangling among stakeholders. How these programs are shaped and implemented will be all about who is sitting at the table. Coastal communities have a seat, but it might be best described as a high chair. It is notable that the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's advisory panel has been shedding community representatives in favor of industry panelists lately. Crew, being non-existent, do not qualify for inclusion.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.